Hello, everybody. It's Chris Hockey, and welcome back to the Snowcross Podcast. So glad to have you, and I'm really excited. I won't keep you here for very long because I talked to Robbie Malinowski 5 minutes ago for 30 minutes, and we had a great conversation about all kinds of things as he was driving. But let's go back to what happened this last round, rounds 9 and 10. A giant crowd in Salamanca, New York. My goodness, there were lines to get in stretching all the way back to town at about noon on Saturday. Great crowds on Friday as well, but Saturday was something else. And they saw just utter domination out of Tucker once again. Unbelievable what he was able to do this weekend. He just loves that racetrack, and he's been unstoppable everywhere we've went. How about Elias Ishuel on Saturday? And how about the points battle in the Pro Light division going on right now between Montana Jess and Jake Angove? That's going to go down to the wire. All the racing this weekend was just great. The track was fun. Friday night, that big old jump was kind of hairy. I don't know if you had an opportunity to see the GoPro footage from Ross Martin's helmet from Friday night jumping that giant triple, but it looked like he was falling out of the sky. Unbelievable what our racers are accomplishing. And we had another run of injuries as well. Sorry to hear that for all of you out there, and I'm hoping that everybody has a speedy recovery. What a weird year it's been injury-wise. Let's hope we're done with that as we head into the final three sites of the season as we go through this 17-race season. So plenty to get to, and again, go to snowcross.com. And check out all the information you need about who's in the points and who's where and who's doing what. But I'm going to give you plenty of time now to listen to my interview with Robbie Malinowski, the team manager for Layton Motorsports. Robbie Malinowski, so tell me where you're at this exact second while we're recording this interview.
I am just leaving Buffalo, New York. So I had a little extended stay after the race, went over to Tim Bender's shop, and we worked on some things that we wanted to, try to test this spring. So.
Okay, you've been team manager for what? Is this 3 or 4 years now?
This is my second year.
No, this is only the second year. Okay, gotcha. Because I remember when I first came in, my first year as doing television and such for Snowcross was your next to last year as a racer. Then you made the transition. You're obviously being that you're kind of a veteran at it right now. Are you used to being just a team manager and not a racer yet?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. 100%. I had a great career, had a long career, had a lot of fun, met a lot of good people, and I still get to do everything but race. And now my challenge, instead of trying to be in shape and race, is trying to get, my guys going as fast as they can. So, it's fun. I enjoy it. It's a lot of work. But I knew that going in. I seen how hard the guys worked that when I was racing, so it wasn't anything too new to me, and a lot of fun, though, and enjoying it.
Tell me something that was a surprise about the job you didn't expect when you got it.
I didn't think I would be as, take it as personal when things didn't go so good. I thought I would be able to kind of brush it off and move forward. But, man, when we make a mistake on the mechanical side for the guys out there on the track, it hits home, and it's sure not a lot of fun. But that's probably the hardest thing.
Tell me everything, and I know team manager means probably everything is under your umbrella, but obviously you've got somebody who is your crew chief, somebody who's your mechanic, you've got somebody to handle social media marketing and such like that, but do you oversee all of them? Is everything under you?
Yeah, no. I mean, we all kind of work together. I try to do, we all try to do what we do best, and kind of make that our main goal in the trailer and in the team and everything. And nobody really has one designated job and that's all you do. Everybody is pretty much hands-in on a lot of things. But to answer that question, yeah, I have a little bit of everything, but so, yeah, no.
Yeah, okay. First of all, are you better at this job or worse at it than you thought you were going to be?
I think I'm learning and getting better every month, every day, and I wouldn't say that I thought I was going to be really good at it. I guess I just didn't know. I thought I would just work my tail off, and that's kind of how I always approach my racing, and good things came from that, so I figured I would carry that right into this.
Sure. Okay, then let me ask you this question. What do you need to be better at?
Oof, that's a tough one, huh?
Right? I know, man. I go right for the jugular, man.
Yeah. No, that is good. But I think I need to be, I just need more time, more experience. I think you know, you're always trying to do more, always trying to change. Like, we did a lot with our sleds this year, and I really enjoyed that. It was a lot of fun, but, you know, I missed a lot of things in that process, and it just comes from experience. I won't make the same mistakes again, that's for sure.
I'm so glad that you were able to join me, man, because I'm fascinated by what you do. As I was new to the sport, I was a fan of the sport anyway, because I love all things racing. But the more I get to know it, the more fascinated I am by all the little things that go into what you do and what a racing team has to do each and every weekend while at the racetrack, and the amount of time and the amount of different little minutiae that you guys have to keep track of. I would guess, even with all the checklists, even with the years of experience, the minutiae and keeping an eye on the little things has to be the hardest part.
Yeah, and, you know, as you're saying that, I'm kind of sitting there thinking, yeah, that's probably my biggest downfall is I got to get better at keeping better notes. So maybe that's something that I could put in that question that you had before. But for sure, no, it's just hard to keep track. You have a lot of things going on. There's not just three or four things that you have to kind of monitor. It's a 100 things at once, and it's tough. It's a challenge for sure.
All right, let me ask you, if this is tough, Robbie Malinowski was a fantastic, one of our best ever snowcross racers. Is it hard to watch somebody who races for you, one of your young drivers who is still learning as they go along, is it hard to watch them and not expect them to be able to do the things you could do?
Yeah, but you kind of carry like a, like, you got to be careful because, like, yeah, if at the end of the day, my whole, you know, portfolio, yeah, looked great, but there was a lot of struggles to get to that too. So I can't just expect what 15 years of racing that I did, these guys should do in a day or in a year.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's a challenge for sure, but it's just time and you got to be patient. And I feel my biggest thing that I always push towards, you know, Corin and Trevor and last year with Zach, was as long as the effort was 100%, I didn't care what the result was. The result will come. They always do. But when the effort is there and they're trying their hardest and they're focused, that's all I ask for. And when we have that, we usually get results with it.
How many days a week are you working for the team during racing season?
Yeah, races, it's pretty much 7 days a week.
Yeah.
I mean, you get a few days off here and there, and I'm kind of considering this 15-hour drive right now a day off. So, you know, it's pretty much all the time. But, you know, it's no change. When I was racing, it was the same way, and it's something that I enjoy. So it's not really that much work.
Trevor Layton, one of your Pro Open drivers, broke his back in, what, two places this past weekend? Is that right?
Yeah, he had some stress fractures on like a T12 or something like that, I believe. Don't quote me. I think it might be off. But yeah, he had a big crash in practice. It was a weird crash. I didn't really understand how it all happened, but nevertheless, it was a crash and he hurt himself. And it's unfortunate because I feel like we were starting to make some pretty good headway, and Deadwood was, I felt like his heats were coming around. Everything was coming around. It was like everything was right there for us to start making some big jumps. And, man, it was a bummer to see him go down.
It's been such an odd year, and I want to talk to you about that. And then we'll talk a little bit later, Robbie, about your history in the sport and what you've accomplished as well. But I want to explore each of your drivers just a little bit here. Well, first of all, the diagnosis for Trevor, do we know, is it a career, I should say, is it a season-ending surgery, or is there something, do we know when he's going to be back?
I don't have an answer for you on that just yet. I haven't talked to him personally. I haven't talked to Trace either, and I'm not sure what the exact prognosis is, but I believe from what I know from racing and injuries and stuff like that, that's going to take a while to heal. And it's not like one of those things you want to monkey with, you know, like you hurt your knee a little bit. Yeah, you can probably push through it, but a back, you got to be careful. So I'm going to always err on the side of caution on that side of it.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, what's weird is I spent a lot of time with Trevor on Saturday morning after his injury, just talking to him in the booth about what was going on and the different options and such. Seeing him walk and seeing Corin Todd, your other driver, walk, and Corin looked like he was the one with the broken back. He was having back spasms or something like that as well, but had a decent day, to say the least, on Saturday. How's he feeling as far as you know right now?
Yeah, no, he's doing good. He just had a little, you know, weird deal, tweaked his back a little bit. and caused him to kind of like lock up, and it was unfortunate because he's another rider, excuse me, that really started coming around, and I mean he's been just on fire lately, mm-hmm. And then to have that in his hometown, I know he was excited for it and pumped up. So it was a bummer to see that, but he's at home now. He's resting and he'll be fine for the remainder of the season. And I hope he can get back to his form that he was at.
Yeah, well, and again, we'll talk a little bit more about your drivers individually. But you've been around the sport for a long time. I've been around it just for a few years now. I've never seen anything like this stretch of injuries we're going through right now. First of all, is it this uncommon as I feel like it is? And second of all, why do you think it's happening?
Yeah, it does seem like there's a lot of injuries, and I don't know. I can't put my finger on what the reason is. You want to say it's, oh, maybe the tracks are too difficult or maybe this or that, but I don't know if you can go and blame stuff like that. It's got to be, I mean, just the level of competition is so high. Everybody's pushing so hard. The machines are getting so much better every year. Everybody, you would go through in years past and you'd have gaps of guys that would be on a certain brand and struggle. And then the next year, the next brand or the other brand would struggle. So now you don't have that. Each brand is pretty competitive right away. And like I said, the level of competition is just so high. And I don't know, man. You need a crystal ball to answer that one.
Yeah, it's too bad, man. And again, it changes every week, and we're hoping to get a few people back by the end of the season. But it certainly has been tough to watch, and I know it's been tough on the riders themselves, the racers themselves, to see their friends go down and to go out each week wondering if they're next. Trevor Layton, we talked about his injury, but let's forget about that for 1 second and talk about the season he's had. You said that you saw him coming around, especially in Deadwood. I would agree with you 100%. We know he's a strong kid. We know he's very fast. We know he's not afraid of big air. What do you coach Trevor Layton on more than anything else?
Most of it is technique, and just I feel like where Trevor's strengths are kind of like what you said. He's not afraid of the big jumps. He's not afraid of things like that. He's not afraid of hanging it out. His downfalls are more his technique, his race savvy. Well, like stuff like that, I feel he could sharpen up quite a bit on. And but again, he's first-year pro. He hasn't been at it that long, so it's still a work in progress. And that, his starts have gotten better. I feel pretty good about it. All the little things are all there. So most of it is just the race savvy type of thing.
Okay, with Corin Todd then, and again, I've been so impressed with this young man this year, and I think he's got a great future. He's got a great rest of the year ahead of him as well. What is the one thing you have to talk to him about the most?
Kind of the opposite. I try to get Corin to push the envelope a little bit more. I want him to, hang it out that first little bit of the race and put himself in a position where he can back down a notch and race the remainder of the race at a comfortable pace, not trying to come through the pack wide open and fashion and whatever else. So that's kind of, I've got polar opposites on both ends. Warren's definitely, his riding technique, his style is really precise. He's always in the right spot. Trevor, not so much. But what Trevor gains, he'll hang it out, and where Corin loses, maybe he'll pull back a little bit. So I think one of the biggest things that we contribute to Corin's success lately is just the fact that he's starting to feel confident enough to go right away and not pull back.
That's interesting stuff. And again, I would guess being your job is very much like a football coach or a different sports coach or something like that. You have to handle each individual the way they must be handled. And that's got to be difficult sometimes too.
Absolutely. And I really believe that, like, if we were to do, 7 in the morning, you wake up and we're going to work out and this is the schedule that we have for this month. And I don't, real military type atmosphere. Someone would gain from that, but someone would also lose from that, and I don't see that being a positive.
Interesting stuff. Again, Robbie Malinowski is driving back from New York, and he's headed home right now, and he's given us some time. I appreciate it very much, man. Let's talk about Josh Sweeten and Jake Turnbull, okay? So you got a crew chief who's from New York, a mechanic that's from Meridian, Idaho. Are these guys that you went out and hired, or were they on the team when you got there?
So Josh was with Late Motorsports for a few years before I even got there. And then this year, Jake, he was a rookie, so he started out having no real idea what he was getting into, and we tried to warn him a little bit, but I'll tell you what, that schedule is tough, man. When 6 o'clock rolls around, there's not a lot of breaks from 6 to 9, and it's a pretty high-stress atmosphere for sure, because we got a lot to do in a little time, and especially when things don't go exactly as planned, it's a challenge.
Being that Josh is the crew chief, do you defer to him on a lot of decisions when it comes to the sleds?
Well, he's definitely our crew chief, but he's also Trevor's mechanic. So his like nightly, say, from 6 o'clock or whatever else during the race day, he's got a job to take care of Trevor as well. So he's playing kind of double duty, and majority of his duty is definitely taking care of Trevor. So when he comes in and we need to make a clutch change or we need to do anything, suspension change, I'll kind of take some of that weight off him. I'll do all that and make sure that he can take care of all of Trevor's needs as far as the sled goes. But when he gets done, I really like to work, and I work great with him on clutching and suspension. And I've had a lot of years of experience in this, so it's been a lot of fun. I've been able to try to teach him some stuff, and he's no slouch either. He knows a lot. He's been around a long time, and he's a very motivated and driven individual to try to learn more. So he's slowly becoming a pretty good, mechanic, crew chief, whatever. We don't really go by titles, but, he's just an all-around good fabricator, everything.
Hmm. Is it hard to get the information from your drivers that you need to adjust the sleds? And the reason I ask that is because I was talking to Ryan Springer last week. I had him on the podcast, and he was talking about how he's trying to learn how to communicate what he needs on his sled to his people. For a young driver, that's really, really hard. Are you getting what you need from your guys?
Yeah, for the most part, for sure. And I think one thing that has been fortunate for us is I've been able to hop on the sled and do a little testing myself and kind of see where things are at this year. And last year I wasn't able to do that. And now we can make some changes. I can kind of pull off my experience. I can talk to Corin. Corin's pretty good as far as, feedback goes. Trevor, his attitude towards feedback is pretty blah. He just wants something consistent, something that he knows, and he'll just go out and try to make up the difference. But I think what he's starting to find now is, okay, that used to work, but now at this level, I need to get a little better at the feedback. So now we're working with him and trying to get him more detail-oriented on what he feels and what he sees.
That's fascinating stuff, man. Again, Robbie Malinowski, I appreciate your time very, very much as you're driving along. And, you're the first time I've ever had a team manager on the show, so I have so many different types of questions. What about Trace and Wendy Layton, the team owners? How involved are they in what you do? Do they leave you to make your decisions, or do they weigh heavily in on the decisions you have to make?
No, Wendy is and Trace are just awesome. The family atmosphere that we have in the trailer has been a blast. With me having 2 kids and a wife, and when they come to the race, I mean, it's not a, like, they can't come in the trailer and they got to stay away and this and that. It's 100% come on in. They take care of them. Then as far as the racing side goes, I mean, there's no dictatorship, I want to say, like, in our trailer. We definitely work as a team. We definitely have everybody's input. When it comes down to a little bit more technical stuff, and say we get it out of, Trace's wheelhouse as far as, like, sled setup and stuff, then, those questions will kind of maybe not fall in his lap as much. But for an overall general, how the team is ran, how things go, there's no one person that's making every call every day.
Yeah, got you. Okay, cool. Let's talk a little bit about Robbie Malinowski and your career. Tell me about how you got started in racing snowmobiles.
Well, I used to race a lot of motocross back in the day, and then I got to a point where I just wasn't really making any headway. And Blair Morgan, was already started in the snowcross bit, and I was looking on, seeing what he was doing, and his brother-in-law, Chris Dugray, started, he was racing as well, and he was, like, hounding me to go out and try this stone wheel race, and I had really no desire to do it, but I did, and, man, I tell you what, the first race I did not like it at all. It was, I just wasn't anything I was used to. I struggled, but I went back and did it again, and before you knew it, I just started doing well and had some wins and started making a little money. I was starting to enjoy it, so I went from there to Fargo, North Dakota for my first national, and it went really good in 2001 and placed third in the Pro Light class. So that was kind of the start to my snowcross career.
What were you best at when it came to racing snowmobiles?
I think I just brought a lot of intensity. I wanted to win. You know, I wasn't going to give up easily, and I just wanted to just win.
Yeah, right, yeah. I heard an interesting story from Mike Schroeder. He told me at one point you were really, really bulked up muscle-wise, and he said after a while you realized you needed to slim down a little bit. Is that a story that you remember well? Is that something that you can confirm?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, every year you're trying to improve, and you look at what you did and what you need to work on. And, you know, I think there was a time there where I definitely got a little too big. I was definitely trying to be too strong, and I don't know if it helped me, and I don't think it did. I kind of went the other way, and I seen better results. So it was, you know, it was just a balance. And at that time, too, that you didn't have as many people around, you know what I'm saying? Like,
sure.
You had your mechanic and had your team, and you'd show up. And now you have a lot more, like, during the summer, I'm, you know, dealing with Trevor and Thorne all year long. So they kind of, you know, we're keeping tabs, we're testing, we're making sure everything's on track. We have a goal, we're going to work towards it, and we've got 12 months out of the year to do that. So now, for sure, I did screw up throughout the past, but, you know what I mean, it was like live and learn and
sure.
Try to learn from those mistakes.
You hold the distinction of racing at the top level on all four brands of snowmobiles, winning main events on three of them, including the first four-stroke win for Yamaha, which was back in 2007. I think that's a fascinating thing right there, and I could go on all days asking you different questions about the different sleds, what you liked more, what you liked less, and how they changed. But instead, let me ask you this question. If I had to pin you down and say, what's the number one greatest memory you have of racing snowcross, could you point one out for me?
I would probably say my rookie year in 2005. There was no pressure. It was just strictly racing.
Yeah.
And, I had nothing really holding me back. You know what I mean? And it was just a lot of fun that year. Had a great team, great crew, and enjoyed every bit of it. That one sticks out a lot. I mean, obviously there's the little things like X Games and four stroke and stuff like that that all stick out. But, you know, there was a lot of tough days too with those deals. But 2005, I enjoyed, had a lot of fun, had a lot of good people around, and yeah, that would be it.
That's fun. And again, we won't keep you too much longer, I promise.
No.
But I appreciate all this. So we talk about your best moment. Let's talk for a moment about your toughest moment. Do you have anything that sticks out as you were saying, man, I made a giant mistake there. I cost myself a race, or I cost myself a championship. Anything stick out there?
Yeah, I mean, it was maybe the decision of when I left Yamaha and went to Ski-Doo. That was a tough year, just hoping that everything was going to go kind of like in your head. You plan, like, the Ski-Doo sled is going to be so good. It was the year the XP was coming out. And to be honest, it was a struggle.
Mm.
It was as much of a struggle as it was with the four-stroke. And that caught me off guard like crazy, because I didn't see that coming. And there was a dark moment that year for sure where I felt like maybe this was it and I was going to be done and I didn't want to do this anymore. And I'm sure glad I didn't, you know, hang it up then, because I would have some serious regret.
Yeah.
But you know, we worked through it. It was a challenging year. We ended up winning by the end of that year, which was crazy because of the way it started. But just a tough year, and it just caught me off guard.
You know, Robbie, that's the kind of thing as a team manager. At some point in your career, you're going to have to impart that wisdom, and thank God you've got that for the young racer who's going to need to hear that, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And that's what we always, I try to always pull off of is, like, the ups and the downs are always going to be there. You're never going to get away from that. I mean, unless you're Tucker, really, you're going to always have some ups and downs. It's a challenge, and I just want you guys to stay as level-headed and hardworking as possible, because I feel like that worked for me. And I'm not saying like we do everything that I did, because I made a lot of mistakes. But man, I know when the work is right and the effort's right, good things happen.
Yeah, yeah. How's your health after your career is over as a racer? Is there anything in particular that's beat up more than the other, or you doing okay?
No, I mean my knee's definitely not 100%, and I don't think it'll ever be. My fitness is probably definitely not where it once was. I'm definitely taking retirement full bore, so that's maybe a little bit of a downside. But you know what? I'm happy. It's good. My family's healthy. Everyone's good, and that part of me is awesome. I've had many years of training and going after it. And now it's more time with family, more focus on that.
Let's take it in a couple of different directions. I'll let you go. Here's number one. Obviously, Carl Shabisky is listening right now. Hi, Carl. It's good to hear. Good to know you're out there. He listens to this every week. So if you had a one-on-one conversation with Carl, just you and him sitting in a room, maybe having a pop or something like that, is there anything you would tell him that you would like to change about snowcross racing? Is there anything that we as an organization could do better?
There's so many positives in the last 6 years since Carl and ISOC have taken over, maybe longer than that. I don't know how many years they've been at it now. But it's been so positive. Like, you look at the crowd that we had in New York, and you look at the, you know, everything that's going on around it. It's so awesome. The only thing that sucks is now everybody's getting hurt. Not that Carl can do anything about that. So I guess the conversation that I'd like to have with him is just what's his thoughts on that? How do we get it to where it's maybe less injury? And I don't think you can ever really answer that. But I do have little things that me and Carl do butt heads on. Like, I feel there was a jump on, in New York after the finish line on Friday that I didn't feel was safe, and I expressed that, and Carl fixed it. So, I mean, our relation there is pretty strong. Obviously, he respects me, and I respect Carl for what he's done. And So I kind of danced around the question, but I don't really have an answer.
No, that's fine. And let me say something about that last point you just made. It's great to be able to have an open line of communication with a guy who's willing to listen, isn't it? Because that's another thing. Being in the broadcast booth, Carl's to my left. He's right over there, and he's having conversations with people all the time. Not all of them, I should say, are pleasant, but he always listens, and I greatly respect that guy for a lot of reasons. That's one of them. That jump you're talking about, it's so weird, Robbie, because as a fan, it's breathtaking. As a team manager, and especially as a racer and somebody who's a mom or a dad of a racer, that was frightening, man. That thing was huge.
Oh, for sure. And I think we need the big air, the huge jumps, the entertainment factor. I mean, that at the end of the day, that's what we are. We are kind of a traveling circus in a way. We go around, we entertain people. We also race while we're entertaining. And the risk that's involved with it is huge. And we all accept that and all understand that. But at times when we can slightly avoid a little risk, I think that's something that we got to take on and move forward. But, you know, with having said all that and having that one little jump there, not little, but one huge jump, I thought this weekend that track was probably one of the best tracks watching, like, for racing-wise, as I've ever seen. I mean, the two lines before the finish line, after, or right by the starting line, there was some great passes, huge battles all weekend long.
Yeah, it was a fun weekend, especially to be a fan, and we had a giant group of fans out there in New York, and I'm sure it'll be the same as we go on. But we're on a good upswing here. Deadwood was a sellout. Canterbury was a giant crowd. I'm sure that next week or 2 weeks from now will be great as well as we head into these last three weekends of racing. Robbie Malinowski, I've kept you for, believe it or not, a half hour, and I really appreciate it. The last question I'm going to ask you is maybe the hardest one to answer, and I'm sure if you had the answer, you'd tell everybody. How are we going to beat Tucker, and who's going to be the person to do it? I mean, we've seen an incredible run of dominance for him. How's it going to happen?
Well, so Cody Cam, to me this year, started the season with, in my eyes, maybe more speed than Tucker, and he proved it. He has the ability to beat Tucker, and up until he got hurt, he was one of the guys that I feel had the ability to not beat Tucker all the time, but if Tucker wasn't 100% on his game and Cody was there, he was going to be giving Tucker fits. So guys like that, Tucker is someone that is going to be there. Cody's going to be the guy that can be there now with his injury again. And he's got a big hurdle to climb here. He's got to get healthy. He's got to get refocused. He's got to get back to where he was at the start of this season, and that's not an easy feat. So there's a guy that, in my eyes, I feel can get there. There's a pile of other guys like Corn Todd, Lincoln Muse, Logan Christian. All these guys are all right there. They just need a little bit more. And I'm not going to just come out and say what me and Corin talk about, but we've got plans, and I would like to see Corin take that next step to get to that level. But looking into the future, there's also a little Finland kid that rides for Warner Racing that is pretty exciting to watch, and I think if he can stay on the right track and keep improving and maybe clean up a few things that he's got going on with him, I think Elias is going to be a kid that can get up there and challenge it. And maybe not next year, because I don't know if he'll go pro or not, but in the future for sure, he's got some special talent there for sure.
There's no doubt he is exciting. I tell you, man, this has been great. Thank you, Robbie. I appreciate the amount of time you've given us. Be careful on your drive and do what I do. Stop and like reward yourself with a donut here and there, okay?
Right on. All right. Thank you.
Great to talk to you, man. See you later. So there goes Robbie Malinowski. Thank you so much for tuning in. I kept him for 30 minutes. If you stayed for the whole thing, thank you. I hope it was worth it. Again, my name is Chris Hockey. We'll see you in a couple of weeks at Mount Pleasant, and we'll do this every week after a race and try to bring different perspectives to our favorite sport. Everybody have a great weekend, a great time off, and we'll see you in Mount Pleasant. God bless everybody.